Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation and by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 295, April 12th, 2017. Joe, W8GEX, talks 60 meters, and Bob talks purple chicken heads. Good evening, everybody. From the Ozarks, good old Pleasant Hope, population 614. This is Bob Heil, K9EID, and we have a marvelous assembly tonight of people and great information. And let's see who all's with us tonight. First of all, Gordo from Southern Cal. How you doing, Gordo?
I am fine. I have all our bunny friends here. I have our official peeps that we'll consume later on. And Eric into KOJ, our 40-meter net control station on the East Coast, says New Jersey's going to ham fest. The Split Rock ARA.com group is putting it on a week from this Sunday, Sunday, April 23rd, at Horseshoe Lake Park in New Jersey. I would say the name of the city, but I can't even pronounce it. Back to you, Bob.
We'll be back in just a minute for more. And then we have beautiful Valerie. Valerie, how you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing good from the outskirts of Crescent City, population 324. Hey, it's a great day, beautiful day. Getting close to Hamvention, 36 days away. One announcement to make, Contest Supersuite actually has their own website now. It's called contestsupersuite.com. Pretty easy, but I'm going to be talking a little later on tonight about a very neglected aspect of amateur radio. So you're going to want to stick around for that.
We will. But before we come back to you, we have to go down to the southern part of Mississippi. And there he is. It's Don Wilbanks himself. How you doing?
From Delta Whiskeyville, population me. I'm doing great. It's a good day to be here with you guys. I was hanging out with Ted Randall last night with my regular second Tuesday a stint on WTWW on shortwave. And by the way, we're on that thing tonight, too, with the Ham Nation Audio. Hello, shortwave listeners on 5085 and 12.105, beaming into Africa. So if you got a shortwave radio, crank it up. We got a good show. Bob, back to you.
That's great. Okay. Well, before I get back to Gordo, I want to tell everybody, you know, we've been talking about QST. The whole thing is really so much better now, a new regime, new magazine. And the thing I really go to right at the beginning is Tom Gallagher's writings. They're really good. He's talking here about Grace Academy. It's really an interesting article. You've got it. You really, if you're not a member of the ARRL and you've been saying, oh, I didn't want to do that. Yeah, right. Don't do it. Now is the time, because look at this article, guys and girls. Ooh! Look at here.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. You'll learn all kinds of things about the contest queen. There it is. So you want to be sure to get your copy of QST. So you'll learn all kinds of things, and you should. And there's all kinds of other things there that they're doing, and I want you to, you need to call the ARRL and get in there and join all of us, because we need all of us now, because things are happening. And the more numbers that we have, the better off it is to go to Congress and wherever to get things happening. The other thing I want to tie you to is, and I talk about it often, is electric radio. But I want you to look at this picture. This is not an old car. It's a new car. But it's WU2D's mobile. And what he's got is ARC 5s. These are the radios that are in like the B-29s and all the early Navy ships and airplanes of World War II. This was a big deal for us. After the war, you could take those things and do a little conversion, and the next thing you know, you were on 40 meters or 20 meters, wherever you wanted to be. And he made his, so it really works on several bands. You just got to do this. Electric Radio. It's a wonderful little magazine, and Ray's done a great job. One of the other things, look at this. We'll talk about this later. Isn't this timely? They've got a whole section in here about a microphone preamp, and that's exactly what we're going to build, almost the same circuit. So, see, all of this stuff's out there, and just nobody's telling you about it. We are, and we're going to be into a lot of things. I'll tight you a little bit. After a while, I have the transmitter done. We're going to fire it up, and you're going to be able to listen to it after a while. So it's way ahead of the curve, because we're still building a power supply for this, but we'll get that going. But in the meantime, we need to go see what Gordo's got. I understand you've been riding around in the old dune buggy. What are you and Susie up to these days?
Oh, well, we went to the beach and saw the great ocean and felt the water, and it was cold. But tonight, Bob, you know, it's 100 years of Marconi, and Marconi introduced us to CW, continuous wave. And we've had a lot of Ham Nation listeners, as well as our shortwave listeners on WTWW, saying that, you know, we enjoyed the CW that would change to the next shot. So just a quick CW lesson here. We encourage all of you to think about getting a CW key and practicing Morse code. The reason is, now that there's no longer a test, there's no longer pressure to have to learn the code to pass a test. And we encourage you to first start out with a straight key, and later on the show next few weeks, we'll talk about the paddles. But the straight key is a great way of sending dots and dashes. There are the dashes. But first we need to adjust the straight key, and we do that by this end little tab here, and we bring it all the way down to where it starts making noise. And then we bring it back up just a little bit. This is the spring tensioner. And the way we hold the key and the way we send CW is not the dive bomb, but we actually grasp the key, and you should be able to pick up the key like this for proper CW sending. And you can send CW nice and fast, or you can send it nice and slow to get started. But when we say slow, we don't do an A like negative. The A is dit da, just like that. The most common letter of the English language is the letter E. Samuel Morse was no brainer on this one. He went to his friend Gutenberg, the guy that did the Gutenberg press, and he says, "Hey, Gut, what's the most common letter in your printing press tray?" And he said, "Oh, that's a letter E." So Sam says, "Okay, this will sound for the letter E." Just a little dip. So the letter E is sent like this, and the letter T is sent like this. T. 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 So your first word is this word. Ready? Here we go. What'd you get? That's right, Valerie, et. It must have been something I et, or maybe E-T. But we're going to be doing a little bit of CW practice for the next few weeks based on the most common letters of the English language, and that'll allow you to form words. So have a good, happy Easter. Eat a peep or two, and I don't need to talk and do CW for the period. See you all next week. Bob, best to you.
Okay. Well, we're going to be tuning in for that. That's for sure. I'm getting my camera all set up here for the Pine Board project. But before we do that, Don's got some words for us about DX Engineering.
I do. You know, Gordon, you're depriving alligators down here of marshmallows when you eat those peeps. But I wasn't going to say anything. Hey, you got the perfect radio, okay? You order that from DX Engineering, and you got your tower, and you order that from DX Engineering. And maybe you got a nice Heil microphone like this one here, and you order that from DX Engineering. And you got your antenna. What do you need now? Power. Not watts. Volts. Spend a lot of time and money on your station, so it's important that you make sure that it's fed with clean, reliable power. DC power. And DX Engineering carries power supplies from some of the most trusted names in the industry, like Samlex. Samlex is a go-to source for pro-spec power supplies for a ton of applications. Desk mount, rack mount, there are power supplies for practically any station type. You have a weird input-output voltage, something a little bit atypical? Well, there's a good chance you'll find a Samlex power supply for it at dxengineering.com. Samlex also makes an assortment of voltage converters, power supply modules, inverter, remote control, solar panels, and battery backups. It's a pretty cool company. Now, they also carry the first name in power supplies. It starts with an A. Say it with me. Astron. Yes. Heavy-duty Astron units are rugged and reliable. They're ultra-quiet and dependable. They come in a huge range of specs for several different power applications. I've got the 35-amp big, heavy, linear power supply with the two meters on the front down here in my rig. But, of course, they make switching supplies, too. Perfect for base and portable applications from low watts all the way, or low amperage all the way up to high amperage. The low-profile designs, too, available for building a compact station. Astron, that is, man, that's my go-to. Trusted for transceivers, Alinco, they also make several power supplies tailored precisely to the needs of amateur radio operators. And I had one of these, too, many years ago. Alinco's adjustable power supplies, they fit perfectly right by their radios because they're small, they're compact. They're also excellent bench supplies for gear that needs a stable, clean DC source. They have selectable volt amp meter and a handy noise offset knob so you can move that switching noise to another frequency. They also incorporate short circuit and current limit protection. They're great little power supplies, especially that DM330 that has a programmable preset voltage function, lets you store the most frequently used voltage in the memory for quick access. They have models available for both 110 and 220 AC input. And if you have a unique power supply requirement, just check with DX Engineering. Contact them directly. They'll be able to work out a custom solution perfectly for your station and your situation. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a trek headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice. That's the mantra of DX Engineering. They help you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Great friends of Ham Nation. They are dxengineering.com/hamnation, and we thank them for being part of the Ham Nation family. Bob, I want to see what you're putting on the Pine Board tonight.
You want to see what we're putting on the Pine Board tonight?
I want to hear it.
Hear? Yeah. Well, we're going to do that. We really are. But before I start, I have some things to show everybody. I'm pretty excited about this. You know, first of all, we talked last week about the waxed cords that we're lacing the cables with. And where do you get that? Hundreds of places. Somebody even sent me a picture of his roll. There you go. You can go buy this. You go on eBay and you'll find it in different colors even. And it's just all kinds of stuff out there. But Gene has been so helpful to us. He's doing all these great drawings. And then look at this. He built this beautiful power supply. Prettier than mine, I'll tell you. Because I do these in a hurry, and I should take the time. But man, look at that. Gene, what a great job. I appreciate that and all of the things. But here comes the goodie. You remember last week we talked about the knob. I have a red chicken knob, a chicken head knob, right? A lot of people, what's a chicken head knob? Well, I get them in the mail this time. Lanny sent me these, one of my AM buddies in the morning. I got a whole bunch of them from Lanny. Then, and I don't know who sent these, but thanks very much. I got some chicken head knobs. You ready for this, Valerie? They're purple. And I found out from some of these guys that you go on eBay, you can find them in every color. So there you go. Well, what we want to do is I want to clear up the power supply. We're not quite ready to build the preamp. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But the power supply is very, very important. And I told you in the beginning that we were going to have to make adjustments to those bleeder resistors and the dropping resistors because of the draw that each circuit would have on it. Well, the circuits are all done. We are finished. And I know what the draw is. So there's been some changes in this power supply. And you want to pay attention because this is the final. And when we get done, you using the transformers we recommend and all that, you're going to end up with 150 volts. That's right here, 150 volts. But we ended up here with 1K. These are 2-watt resistors and the 320 mic at 450-volt capacitors. That's the completed power supply. Nail it. And once you get that done, then we can move on. But I want to give you some parts list in a little bit because you're going to get into the preamp section. And the preamps, it really turned out well, I have to tell you. Just so you have it, here is the power supply schematic. That's the diagram of the power supply, the real one. And along with that is all the list of all the parts. And Gene did a great job here. So you go through this, do a screenshot, whatever you need to do, but there are the parts. That transformer is very important. That came from Antique Radio Supply. All of this could come from them, with the exception of the 6X5. You want to get that from Vacuum Tubes and More. And I have a new list. I'll show you here in just a minute where you can buy all these. But the one important one is that transformer. It's got to be center tapped. And that number, and you'll have it made. Otherwise, you'll have all kinds of different voltages, and we don't want to do that. So here's the deal. The preamplifier is, all of this is finished. We'll get to see it in a little bit. And I have a list of all the parts. I'll come back to that for you. But what we want to do is show you the preamp as it is and as it will be. It's finished, it's working, and it sounds great. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty surprised how good the thing works. Because look at the parts. There's only about 10 parts in here, but that's okay. Don't need a lot of parts. And next week, we're going to start getting into how all these things work, the circuitry and so on. But this gives you an idea of what is laid out for the power for the preamp. And here is the there we go. Here's the layout, the way the parts are done under the tube socket and all of that. Make sure that everything is where you can get to it. And we had a few changes in it. But this is all just straight wire. We did have some resistors in here, but I increased the current a little bit by this way. I really got it sounding great. But that's the preamp, and you'll hear it here in just a minute. And that's the layout that I did for the one you're going to hear. And again, here are all the parts for the preamplifier. And you'll get your pine board all worked out. And this will be what you're going to be doing to make that preamp work. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to lay the microphone down, or maybe I'll put it in the boom. And what we'll do is bring it all over here, and we'll hook it up and let you see what's going on. And again, you should be, if you're really going into this, you should be done with the power supply. Okay, I'm going to bring that over here. Stand by. See what I can do with the camera so you can see all of this. Yesterday, I went over to Dick's house. Richard is the guy that turned me on to all of this. He's on our morning net, AM net. And gosh, we had a lot of fun. But here, I'll just show you one by one. There's the power supply. And again, you'll be able to see some of this through the replays or do screenshots of it. There is the preamp. And all the parts that you see right there, they're all right there on that preamp. And I'm taking it very slow with everybody. We're going to do the preamp next and only do that after you have that power supply working. And when you go down and measure here, you've got 150 volts, 6.3 here, ground there. And that will be all you need to make that little puppy work. And that goes through that cabling over to the power or to the transmitter. Same deal. I have this plugged in, by the way. This is 150 volts ground in the filament of 6.3. So let me go down here, turn on the strip, and here we go. We'll see what happens. Something should happen. I got pilot lights to tell me what's going to happen. I just did that for the heck of it. Let me back this up a little. Look at that. Look at that. I'm tuning the final tuning. Let me punch up some audio here. Okay. I don't have any antenna on this. And what we're going to do here is plug in the microphone. I'm using one of our PR28s, which is a really cool little microphone. I don't talk about that much, but it's wonderful. It's really, really wonderful. And we have a lot of drummers using it for that, but I use it for a lot of different things, and it works well. Okay, got that going. Okay, there we go. Now, we'll notice, let me get that over here. Notice when I modulate how we get upward modulation. Hello, hello, hello. And that upward modulation is important. We can tune the final. And you might end up with downward, but you want to be able to set it. But that's all stuff we're going to learn later on. We're going to do that much, much later. And we'll get into all this stuff later on that you can hear it and make it happen. We'll get into the transmitter. But right now, I want you to focus on the preamplifier. Because without that, nothing happens. And the transmitter is a little bit more complicated, so we really want to make sure that the preamp is finished, done, and all that good stuff. Then we can make it all happen. Okay, let me turn this on. There we go with that big carrier. I hope you can hear this. 1 2 1 2 1 2 3 4. Let me get this microphone out of here so you're not hearing so much from the
up in the mixer. There we go. Okay, there. And I'll take down the area. What you're listening to is the audio through the transmitter. 1 2 3 4. Also, this is the output meter that's coming off the output of the receiver. Where's that? There it is. And you should be able to see that on the zero meter. 1 2 3 4. 1 2 1 2. And again, we have the old purple chicken head. Actually, I have it up too loud or too high. It's a little bit distorted. We want to roll that back. There we go. If I had a scope on here, I could tell exactly. But there it is right there. That sounds much better. So I hope you got to hear some of that. And I'm really excited because it worked out much better than I thought, I have to tell you.
I figured it would have been a lot more difficult, but it's going to be good for you. The transmitter, my gosh, there's only about four parts in that transmitter. And last but not least, I got to tell you, thank you very, very much, Bree. He has great crystals. And this is the 40-meter crystal I got from him.
Hey, Bob, I think you've got the transmitter up in the background still.
How's that?
Yeah, thank you.
The crystals are great, and that's something that you want to pay attention to, because at first we thought we had that lick, but no, we don't. We can now bet and be sure that they're going to be right, and they come from AF4K. Just put it in the QRZ, and he's got a really great page, and then it'll take you to your site. But these are the most important. Antique Electronic Supply is where you get that transformer and a lot of other things. You can get just about everything from there. I recommend they'll do vacuum tubes, but I recommend vacuum tubes come from vacuumtubes.com. And we'll get into this later. I'm not using a 12AU7. At first we did, when I first started working on it, but we're going to use a 12BH7. It's a bigger tube. It puts out about twice the power, and it's a direct replacement. And we get into that. We can plug them in. I'll show you all that. But I'm not even giving you a list of that, because you shouldn't be worried about that transmitter right now. This is the baby right here. And there are all of the radio days is also another one. And sometimes go in and look at the AM phone, AMFONE.net. A lot of stuff there. But last but not least, I'll leave that up for a second. That will give you the parts. And everything is cooking, and I'm so happy. And I'm happy for you guys and gals. And congratulations to those that's already built it. I've gotten emails from people. They jumped way ahead, and they pretty much knew what was happening. And I guess they built stuff before, of course. And they went ahead and built it. And, of course, I showed you Gene's preamp, which was beautiful. So things are going very well with the Pine Board project. So drop me a note, let me know what's happening, and we'll be back here next week and do more, but we'll get further into that preamp next week. Thanks very much for your time, and we're now going to go see what Valerie, she's got one of my buddies on here, W8GEX, and what other goodies you got, Valerie?
Yeah, I do. We're going to talk with WHEX in a moment. But I did want to point out, when Gordo was talking about learning CW, one of my favorite apps, if you can see it right here, Morse Toad. It's pretty basic. It's free. But by basic, it means it's really easy to use. If you just play that, like when you go to bed at night for like 10 minutes, because consistency is the key when learning CW, and you just move from lesson plan to lesson plan as you score well, it's pretty easy. And I really recommend that one. And if you're looking to learn CW, but I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about the middle child of HF, and that's 60 meters. It's kind of the neglected band. A lot of people have never heard of it or never used it. So I solicited the help of my friend Joe Pater, Whiskey 8 Golf Echo X-Ray. He's actually big into 60 meters. He has a 60-meter website and newsletter and so forth. So go ahead and roll that, Brian, for us.
We're joined here with Joe Pater, a Whiskey 8 Golf Echo X-Ray. And Joe has actually been on a lot of de-expeditions, a few with Jerry. He's been on 55 de-expeditions, three of which were de-expedition of the year.
what is Swains, Midway, and Montenegro, right, Joe?
Yes.
And Joe has a new love in the hobby that he's been very active in lately, and that's 60 Meters, a band a lot of you probably never even heard of. Come aboard, obviously. And why don't you tell the listeners or the viewers a little bit about 60 Meters, what that's all about.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for the invite for being on the show today. 60 Meters is an unusual band. I guess it's sort of like drinking beer or drinking wine. You know, you have to have a taste for it. Not many people just jump into 60 Meters, and I really believe you have to have that taste for it. I've been on the band since it started in 2003, and that was the year I formed a D Expedition to go to Montserrat. And so we put 60 Meters on for the first time for Montserrat in 2003. 60 Meters consists of five channels. The FCC gave us five channels, and they gave us now three modes. So we can work all three, CWS, sideband, and JT65. So it can get a little hectic at times because there are hundreds of guys and girls in the United States that could be on it, but we have to share the five channels and three modes, plus the 172 countries that are on or have been on. So there can be a lot of activity on this little 60-meter band, and I think for the most part, Valve, it's pretty much unheard of. Most people are quite familiar with 10 meters and 15 and 20 and 40 and all that, but 60 meters seems to be off to the side and is sort of non-existent in most hams' minds. Go ahead.
What class license do you need to get on 60?
Need to be a general or higher. We can run 100 watts. And our antenna systems, the FCC requires us to run a 100 watts like into a dipole or into an inverted V. We cannot have a gain antenna like a Yagi. We would all like to do that, but that's against the, you know, the regulations.
So 100 watts ERP max. So
yes.
No gain antennas. Now, I know I subscribed to your newsletter and you had sent out something with the FCC to try and get our privileges broadened.
Yes, the ARL has petitioned the FCC, and the FCC put it up for comment. So through my DX newsletter, I sent it out to all the folks in the United States asking them to write the FCC with their comments. And our main objective was try to get more frequencies, try to get the whole band if possible, try to get more power, and try to get better antenna systems. So therefore, a lot of countries can only run 15 watts. So it's pretty hard from Ohio to work Russia on 15 watts. Not impossible, but 60 meters being a low band and noise and what have you, it can be a little tough.
So what's the best antennas you found that work really well for 60 meters as far as dipoles go? Or
Here at home, I use a vertical. And that's my transmit antenna. I also have an inverted V, and I have a dipole. So between the three, but my main antenna is a vertical. Then I have, through the property here, I have five beverages, only 4 feet tall, and the deer either jump over them or crawl underneath them. I've never had a deer tear it down. It's sort of interesting. But I'm really into a lot of receive antennas because if you can't hear the gentleman, you can't work.
You can tune an 80-meter dipole or 40-meter dipole for 60 as well, can't you?
That is correct. Or a 160 dipole sometimes works very well.
Okay. Yeah. Also, so anybody interested in learning more about 60 meters, what are some good resources they can go to?
Well, we have a very nice website. So it's 60meteronline.com. You can go to that website. There's a slew of information. Along with it, there is a chart for achievements and awards, and you can get WAS and DXCC, but that is only through our little 60-meter group. That has no affiliation whatsoever to do with the ARRL's award program.
I remember, I think it was when Jerry and them were on Palmyra, he did a little split, right? So you can do split from one channel to two channels. They don't really like it too much because you only have five channels, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Now, the Europeans, most countries, but not all, have a couple channels that are similar to the United States. So those channels are fine. We can talk to Germany and England and these different places. But you are correct. We have to split frequencies when we're talking like to Africa, when we're talking to Spain, and it goes on and on because we do not, unfortunately, all share the same frequencies.
Okay.
If anyone has an interest in my 60-meter newsletter, Val, my email address is wagex@aol.com, and if they drop me a line, I'll be more than happy to put them on my newsletter mailing list. And we only send it out every couple of weeks, and it's strictly about DX. It has nothing to do about 10 meters or the other bands, only 60 meters.
And I think, can you sign up for it when you go to 60metersonline.com?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So that's a good one. So I would just start with 60metersonline.com. I think it's going to have everything they need. There's clusters on there for 60-meter spots. You can see the leaderboard of who's got the most countries on 60 meters, all kinds of fun stuff and information as well. So thanks so much, Joe, for joining us. Appreciate it. And letting the folks know all about 60 meters.
Okay. Thanks for the invite and enjoy the day.
Okay. You too. And you know, most of your radios actually have 60 meters in it. You may not see it readily, like if you have the buttons where you push a 7 for 40 meters and 3.5 for 80. If you go to one of those and hit your up, down arrow, it'll go into that band that's kind of hiding there. So I know on a K3, it's just as simple as going, hitting your down or your down band button. So look, check your radio out. It's probably got 60 meters. Some are a little more difficult. I had to pre-program mine on the 7851, but it's there for you. It's there for the taking. And with us hitting a solar minimum, those lower bands are going to come in more handy. As the higher bands are not so good, kind of in the crapper. But now let's listen to this week's DX report. It's time for this week's edition of the DX Files with NV9L. President Obama expanded the Papahanamakakia Marine Reserve back in August of 2016, contingency which now includes Curry as well as Midway Island. So what does that mean? Midway Island used to be governed by a separate administration, and as a result, it had its own DXCC entity. And since Curry came after Midway, even though Curry's part of Hawaii, since there was a different DXCC entity in between it, that got its own DXCC entity. So as a result of this, both Midway and Curry are now deleted DXCC entities. So that brings the new total for DXCC entities to only 337. So those of you trying to get up there, you're that much closer. And people like Jerry, I know he was kind of cussing because he lost 18 banned countries with that. And in other news, the ARRL announced that ClubLog is going to be their first trusted partner for LOTW integration. Now, I'm going to show you how to do that. It's here on the ClubLog page, but I'll show you the how-to in a couple of weeks. And that's a look at this week's DX Files. And this sort of just happened the other day. CQ Worldwide Sideband just came out with their results from the October 2016 contest, which is one of the biggest contests of the year. And unfortunately, there were 80 that were DQ'd, and that's just short for disqualified. So I'm going to get my buddy Ward Silver on. He agreed. I'm going to interview him. And so on the next time I'm on, we're going to talk about ethics in contesting and ham radio, not just contesting, and kind of go over some of the do's and don'ts with contesting so you don't get in trouble. So a lot of questions will be answered on what you can and can't do and things like that during a contest. So definitely long overdue for putting something like that together. So look for that in 2 weeks. And that's all I've got for this week. So, Don, I didn't mean to cut into your whole news thing, but there was so much DX and contesting news this week. I thought I'd showcase that. So over to the amateur radio news.
Oh no, you are the DX queen. You are the princess of propagation. So that is that, of course, would be your purview. Got all those peas in there. So let's prance on over to Amateur Radio Newsline, shall we? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2058. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 12, 2017. As Category 4, Tropical Cyclone Debbie raked Australia with max winds of 163 miles per hour. Hams and some of the Amateur Radio Newsline family were there.
Amateur Radio responded despite challenges of its own as Tropical Cyclone Debbie battered the tourist and agricultural centres in north and central Queensland. Hams along the cyclone track experienced in storm response made preparations, most especially in the regions of Bowen, Mackay, Central Highlands and Townsville, according to Gavin VK4 Zulu Zulu, who lives in Townsville. They checked radio gear, dismantled fragile antenna systems and ensured they had enough fuel to run emergency power generators. Gavin told Amateur Radio Newsline that by Sunday the 26th of March, hams with HF antennas still aloft boosted call-in numbers on the local nets. On Monday the 27th of March, counter-disaster authorities, which included some embedded hams, tweaked their pre-deployment plans according to Gavin. Bowen, one of the affected towns, was able to provide VHF repeater coverage throughout the cyclone and indeed was on the air despite lack of power in the town. This thanks to the Bowen Amateur Radio Group and in particular Jeff VK4JDW, who was powering the repeater off the emergency generator at his home where the repeater is situated. The antenna system survived winds of as much as 125 mile per hour. Further inland, the Central Highlands Link repeater system remained functional, but its northern coastal node, the Midge Point repeater, was disabled by structural and power system damage. As the cyclone swept out, hams put their HF antennas back up and have joined the nets with stories of either dodging the bullet or being on the recovery trail. Two of Amateur Radio Newsline's regular reporters were isolated for several days as rivers to the south of Brisbane, the VK4 capital city, broke their banks. John, VK4JJW, and yours truly, VK4BB. So, filing this report, it's an almost dry VK4BB. Graham Kemp for the Amateur Radio Newsline.
Hams were also on the scene in a Colombian mountain town threatened by flooding and subsequent landslides.
An amateur radio emergency response network was activated on 40 metres in Colombia to assist with recovery efforts there following flooding and a massive landslide outside the mountain town of Macoa near the border with Ecuador. With more than 200 dead and many others missing or injured and all electricity cut off, the amateurs have been deployed to assist local fire departments and other emergency responders, according to Roberto Ray, HK3CW. A state of emergency was declared after the Macoa River and two tributaries overflowed their banks into the town where it devastated residents' homes. The flood is considered one of the worst natural disasters in Colombia in the last two decades. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. Another reminder, we're at the halfway point in the nominating period for the 2017 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award. Nominations close May 31st. You can find the nominating form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We'll present the award at the Huntsville Ham Fest in August. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And we have no solar report tonight because Dr. T is kind of swamped with her work-related thing. She's trying to work ahead so she can take the time to go to Dayton. Yes, Dr. T will be at Dayton. She'll be at Contest University this year, presenting her presentation there at Contest University. And, of course, she'll be hanging out at the Ham Nation booth and just generally, you know, flouncing around as she is wont to do. But she did tell me to tell all of you hello tonight, and she'll be back hopefully next week with another solar report. So I will do my best to give you a solar report as I understand it. As I understand it now, if tomorrow around the middle of the day you go outside and there are no clouds, you'll probably see the sun. But pro tip, don't look directly into it. No, 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 no. And this is why we have Dr. Tamitha Scove on the show. Let's get a word from ICOM, shall we?
Get out and get mobile with ICOM this spring. Base stations, mobile transceivers, handhelds, and more. ICOM has all the equipment to help make your spring full of adventure. Communicate with the touch of your fingertips. Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 is the ideal D-Star option to communicate anywhere. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. Travel outdoor and enjoy the spring air. Back for a limited time, the IC7200 is a great option for hams wanting a rugged device to carry out into the field. Simple and tough with IFDSP, digital noise reduction, and a USB port for PC control. Ideal for the ham on the go, try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur and learn more about all the great ICOM radios.
You can also enter ICOM's weekly drawing because we got swag like ICOM t-shirts and hats. Don't forget to check out the details on ICOM's monthly grand prize drawing. You can find that at icomamerica.com/hamnation. And it looks like, it's the ID51 A+2. Ooh, that's nice. You can register to win that thing. And check out all the other previous drawing winners. Sign up and good luck. I have my original ID51 here in my greasy paw. Nice radios. I don't have the plus two yet, but when I upgrade, that's probably what I'll end up getting. But I love my classic 51, and I've got the orange 51 plus two. Not plus two, but plus as well. That's what I probably should say. Anyway, icomamerica.com/hamnation for all the details on what ICOM's got going. And if you're going to Dayton, be sure and stop by and see all the ICOM folks. Ray Novak will be there. All the cool ICOM people will be there and the cool ICOM stuff. And it's going to be awesome. Let's head over to Colorado now and check out the chat room with Amanda, or as we say down here in Mississippi, Mander.
Hey, just don't call me Mandy. We're
no,
good to go.
Never do that.
See these? Val should be wearing these. She is the princess of propagation. Get these, Val. All right, let's get serious here. Couple announcements first. Tampa is having a ham fest this Saturday, 7 to 12, $4. All the bells and whistles. Look on hamclub.org. Second, K5ATG. Congratulations, Aaron. You just upgraded to extra this week. Woohoo! We want to hear you working some DX. And, let's get to the questions. We have this one. Bob, I'll send this to you. Are switching power supplies cheaper to use than linear power supplies, and do they use less power?
Don't care about if they're cheaper or whatever. They're noisy.
Oh, hey, my shirt says it all.
Too much noise. This is Michelle, our media director of Heil Sound. This is her company that does a lot of graphics and podcasts and stuff. Too much noise. That's what happens to your power supplies. I hate switching power supplies because they're noisy. And you can maybe argue that all day long. There's no argument. You want to get a good old analog power supply. Trust me.
Okay. Yep,
I'll second that. Some of them do have circuitry in there where you can actually switch the frequency of the switching, because that's what happens a lot of time. I had one that would just tear 80 meters up, and you could actually turn the knob and you could move the frequency of the switching, the internal switching in the power supply, over to clear up your frequency that you were trying to work on the radio. But it was kind of a pain. Switchers are okay. Switchers work great for VHF and UHF because they don't affect those. But for HF bands, you're better off with a linear power supply. Yeah, they tend to be bigger and heavier, but they are quiet. And like we said in the DX Engineering ad tonight, something like Astron makes great linear power supplies. They make great switchers too, but their linear power supplies are the state of ham radio. So that would be what I would recommend.
Astron user here. That's what we have. So
yep.
Good stuff. And who wants to be my 60 meter expert since Val had to leave?
Gordo can help. Gordo? I'm on 60.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect, Gordo. We stay tune up here. Let's see. All right. First one is, what is the best portable loop for 60 meters?
The best portable use?
Loop.
One more time?
A loop antenna.
Oh, I'm sorry, portable loop. Okay.
Yeah.
Many of the loops, if you do a second rotation of the loop, will work. The Alex loop does it. The Chameleon loop does 60 meters. And I've made several contacts on the Chameleon loop and quite amazing. And they were even CW contacts, huh?
Very good. Now, our next one, some of the stuff, you guys, is on your, I think, your general test. But, of course, all of us took our general and then forgot the information that we studied for. So, first of all, what is your max power on 60 meters?
Okay, 60 meters is 100 watts ERP. Now, different in our regulations, if you run a beam antenna, wow, a beam on 60, that would be a big beam. Then you can reduce your power down to, if it's got 3 dB gain, go down half power, and you're still within the 100 watts ERP. So it's 100 watts ERP as measured to a dipole as a reference.
Okay. And one more question from AK400. He says, how much gain does a 550 loop have on 60? Ladder line manual tuner. And what's the max power on that?
I would say 100 watts because you're never going to get gain until you go to like a beam antenna. So those typical antennas would be slightly -1, -2 dB as compared to a full-length dipole. So it's good to go with 100 watts because his ERP is going to be less because he has no gain with those type of very effective antennas, but they're not gain antennas.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gordo. He's the expert on 60 meters. So if you guys have any other questions, throw him an email. I bet he could help you out there. And I'm going to just say one more thing about 60. We've been encouraged more and more on the Aries side of things to get off of your local 80 meters and go to 60 meters. So 60 is starting to get used a whole lot more than it used to. And one thing that Val had mentioned that most radios will do them now, sometimes you do have to make modifications. Our Kenwood TS-2000, you do have to make a mod to use it, and you could possibly give up other options on your radio by doing that. So just check them out there and make sure you can do it and you're not going to lose anything. But everyone online is so friendly. Find your forums and find out for sure. All right. Thanks, you guys. Let's go over the nets tonight. We have D-Star on 14 Charlie. We have DMR on TAC 311. 20 meters, 14268. I did put a question out there on 40, and I still have not seen a confirmation. Don, did you see anything on where the 40-meter net was going to be?
7192, they're saying. And also, someone is saying that 20 is still open right now. So there you go.
Wow. Awesome, you guys. Get on there and make those contacts with your net controls. And we'd like to thank our net controls. They work so hard for Ham Nation every Wednesday night. And you guys do such a great job. And you take all the traffic in and you do an excellent job about it. So there you go. That's all I've got. I'm going to send it back to you, Bob.
Oh, and Amanda, I have a little extra for you. You know your buddy VE3MIC, you know, Mr. Mike?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, it's a picture and to all of us to enjoy. So call all the kids around. It's a wonderful picture. You remember the guy that used to be on PBS and he painted pictures and he talked real soft?
Oh, yeah, the tree guy.
Mm-hmm. Bob Ross.
Yes.
Bob Ross.
Yeah.
There he is. Bob Ross is back.
Oh,
check it out.
Funny. Kudos, Mike. Kudos. That's great.
Look at that. Oh, my God.
I love it.
Happy, if you can read it well, happy little trees make happy pine boards.
That's hilarious.
And he's painting very nice and has a nice
Don, you need to make that as your Facebook profile picture. Please.
I look good with a fro. Yeah, send that to me, Mike. He's got my email address. Send that to me. That's funny. He probably did. I may have missed it, but yeah, that's that's hilarious. It could be the new one of the new HN300, Ham Nation 300 memes. By the way, you want to find out everything you want to know about Ham Nation 300, just go to any of the Ham Nation 300 QRZ pages. I can give you mine because I happen to know it off the top of my head. It's Whiskey 5 Hotel.
And K0H.
Hers is Kilo Zero Hotel. So go to any of those one-by-one calls on QRZ, and you'll get pretty much everything you need to know in a short, concise, easy-to-digest way to understand it, what's going on with Ham Nation 300 and the one-by-one calls and the other calls and the digital stuff and the challenge and extra points. It's so funny because I told Dr. T tonight via private message on Twitter that she had missed the show last week. She didn't know anything about this. I said, did you know that you're part of the challenge? So expect to have a lot of people looking for selfies with you, Dr. T, because you're the tiebreaker for the Ham Nation Challenge. And she, well, I can't tell you what she said because it's a family show, but she's very excited about it. So let's inundate Dr. T and Dayton with the selfies. It's going to be so much fun. I'm looking so forward to Ham Nation 300. And go to any of the one-by-one calls on QRZ, and you'll get everything you want to know. Also, we can't forget Dan Van Evenhoven. He does our show notes on the Ham Nation Wiki. Does it every week. Doesn't miss a week. And just tireless. And, we appreciate you so much, Dan, for doing that. So that's
thank you, Dan.
That's about all I've got, I think.
That he's what you really call the secret guy. He's in always working, and we never see him. We never hear about. We need to get him on here and let him know how much we like what he's doing. Because man, he's busy.
Oh, I know what I wanted to say. We've gotten a lot of Facebook messages on the Ham Nation on Twit TV Facebook page requesting more information about the Pine Board stuff. So Bob, man, if you could. If you could do like PDFs or something of those great graphics that you have with the schematics and the block diagrams and everything. And if you need help with that, I'd be more than happy to help you do those as PDFs, because I know there's a lot of people that are looking to get those and play along at home. So, a lot of requests for PDFs of that stuff.
We're working on it. Gene has done a marvelous job, and gosh, he just came out of the blue and bringing all these great drawings.
Yeah,
and
good stuff.
The thing is, Tom,
they're amazing.
One more to come by once we get the preamp thing done here. Then, but we're getting ready to put up a site. Michelle,
too much noise, Michelle.
Michelle's working on that, and we're trying to find a place, and we don't want to have to go out and buy a website. I think we'll probably stick it on our site. You're going to know just in a couple of weeks. We'll have something up and running, and there we can make it happen and communicate and all that. That's all in awesome. The plan. This is not a 2-week project. This is probably going to go on for several months, because once we get into building some of this stuff and tying it together and all that, there's a little bit to it. Although there's not very many parts, but some of the guys and gals that haven't done it, and I want to start next week explaining what do these things do. You know, when you look at a 12BH7, or you look at any of it, we want to be able to tell you what is happening. What are you doing? And it's so important to me, because that's how I learned it, is not just putting it together, but knowing what it did. What does a grid do? What is that? And what does a plate do? And how come the plate's this or that? And we get into making all this stuff happen. And it's going to be intense once we get going. But right now it might seem like a pretty simple thing, but it's all about that right there. I don't know if you can you see that bulb? Can you see that dummy load?
Yeah.
That's
there
my
it is.
Dummy load.
Yep.
Yeah.
What'd you call me? What did he call me?
A dummy.
Yeah. What do you call
me? Oh. Okay. Dummy. Yep. Well, good. Yep. Love it. Love everything about it.
That's coming out of the receiver.
Such a great project.
Oh, and it's gotten so much rave reviews. Everyone's loving it. So.
Oh yeah, I mean just just great response, especially on the Ham Nation Facebook page and emails. I know Bob's
crazy.
Getting a ton of emails. I'm getting emails about it too. So yeah, it's awesome stuff. That's beautiful, and it looks so sharp.
Yes.
I mean, it looks, man, that's good looking stuff.
Just so everybody will know, yesterday I spent a day over at Richards W0BVT. He's the guy that he builds all this stuff and been doing it for years, and he was my inspiration for this. I talked to him in the mornings on 3885, 9 o'clock every day when we're on the MoCamNet AM, and he uses this. And what I didn't do for you tonight, but I will do next week, I have a recording of him, and it's really cool. It is 1 watt, and I didn't have time, but next week we'll open with that and let you hear Richard. But why I went there, just so everybody knows, I wanted him to put it on his bench, his scope, his generators. I wanted him to make sure that everything is doesn't have a bunch of harmonics, you know, stuff like that. So that's the story, and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to share this part of amateur radio, because for me, this is ham radio. This is, you don't go buy an antenna. You build an antenna. You back in the days, we didn't buy transmitters. We built transmitters. It's a little different today, but hey, we can do it. So you'll be surprised what you can do with 1 or 2 watts. So there you go, everybody. And we'll see you back here next week. One other thing, the 17th of May, that's the Wednesday before Dayton, where we will have a live show from Contest University. And Dr. T will be there. Valerie will be heading up that particular show. I'll be there. Gordo will be there. And we'll all be there live. And that'll be the show from Contest University. That's the Wednesday before Dayton opens, or Xenia, or wherever. Okay, guys and gals, it's been fun. I hope we all join back next week, and we'll continue on. Thanks a lot, Brian. And everybody else that's been a part of this tonight. So 7-3, we'll see you later. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.
Bye, everyone, and happy Easter to everyone in your family.